This is In the News for April 7th, 2006. I'm Scott Bergwin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First up today from Agence France-Presse, taken from Common Dreams News Center at commondreams.org. This is from Greenpeace. The environment group Greenpeace launched a campaign against McDonald's, accusing the U.S. restaurant chain of abetting the destruction of the Brazilian rainforest by buying meat raised from Amazonian soya. Greenpeace protesters stage colorful but peaceful demonstrations at several McDonald's restaurants in Britain and Germany, it said in a press release. According to Gavin Edwards, the group's campaign coordinator on forests, quote, fast food giants like McDonald's are trashing the Amazon for cheap meat. Every time you buy a chicken McNugget, you could be taking a bite out of the Amazon, end quote. A study published last month in the British scientific journal Nature said that on present trends, cattle ranchers and soybean farmers will have destroyed 40% of the Amazonian forest by 2050. Greenpeace said three U.S. commodities giants, Cargill, Archer Daniels Midland, and Bunge, control 60% of soya production in Brazil. The soya is then used to feed farm animals in Europe, and some of the meat is then purchased by McDonald's, it said. Greenpeace said, quote, Cargill, which is leading the invasion, has done deals with unscrupulous farmers that have illegally grabbed and deforested areas of public and indigenous land. Some have even used slave labor, end quote. It added that Cargill had, quote, illegally built its own port in the heart of the Amazon, end quote, to facilitate the soya trade. Again, this is from Agence France-Presse, taken from commondreams.org. Next up from High Country News, from their hotline section, their latest issue, dated April 3, 2006. This is written by Laura Paskus. If you've got some nuke waste, you can whip it. That's W-I-P-P, it. Things could get a lot hotter at southeastern New Mexico's nuclear waste storage facility if the state carries out plans to relax its rules. Opened in 1999, the Waste Isolation Pilot Plant, or WIP, stores radioactive waste such as contaminated equipment and soil from as far away as the Idaho National Laboratory and Washington State's Hanford Nuclear Reservation. Now, the U.S. Department of Energy and the facility's private contractor, Washington TRU Solutions, want to accept hotter waste that must be handled robotically. They also want the state to allow for temporary above-ground storage and to eliminate a testing practice that ensures waste doesn't exceed the facility's environmental standards. Despite blocking such requests during WIP's initial permitting process, the state is now poised to accept them. What the decision boils down to, according to Adam Rankin, Communications Director of the State Environment Department, is whether the changes comply with federal law regulating hazardous waste, and he said, quote, and we think they do, end quote. But New Mexico's new stance marks a, quote-unquote, total reversal of its position during the initial permitting process, says Don Hancock of the Citizens Advocacy Group Southwest Research and Information Center. He adds that the proposed changes could expose WIP's workers and people along waste transportation routes to more dangerous levels of radioactivity in the event of an accident. The state will hold public hearings from May 31st to June 6th in Carlsbad and from June 7th to 9th in Santa Fe. For more information on this, you can go to www.nmenv.state.nm.us. Okay, again, that's from High Country News, written by Laura Paskus. And now, finally today, the words of Barbara Ehrenreich, who's a columnist for The Progressive. She's also written her book. Her latest book is Bait and Switch, The Futile Pursuit of the American Dream. She has a website at www.barbaraehrenreich.com, and Ehrenreich is spelled E-H-R-E-N-R-E-I-C-H. And again, these are her words. It's titled Kleenex Workers, and it is from The Progressive and taken from commondreams.org. Was it only 3 years ago that some of our puffed-up patriots were denouncing the French as cheese-eating surrender monkeys, too fattened on camembert to stub out their Gaulois and get down with the war in Iraq? Well, take another look at the folks who invented the word liberté. Throughout the month of March and beyond, they were demonstrating, rioting, and burning up cars to preserve a right Americans can only dream of, the right not to be fired at an employer's whim. The French government's rationale for its new labor law was impeccable from an economist's standpoint. Make it easier for employers to fire people, and they will be more willing to hire people. So why was Paris burning? What corporations call flexibility, the right to dispose of workers at will, is what workers experience as disposability, not to mention insecurity and poverty. The French students who are tossing Molotov cocktails didn't want to become what they call, quote-unquote, a Kleenex generation, used and tossed away when the employer decides he needs a fresh one. You may recognize in the French government's reasoning the same arguments Americans hear whenever we raise a timid plea for a higher minimum wage or a halt to the steady erosion of pensions and health benefits. What? Scream the economists who flack for the employing class. If you do anything at all to offend or discomfort the employers, they will respond by churlishly failing to employ you. Unemployment will rise and you, lacking, of course, the health care and other benefits provided by the French welfare state, will quickly spiral down into starvation. French youth weren't buying this, probably because they know where the Anglo-Saxon model, as they call it, leads. If you have to give up job security to get a job, what next? Will the pampered employers be inspired to demand a suspension of health and safety regulations? Will they start requiring their workers to polish their shoes while hand-feeding them hot buttered croissants? None to all that, the French kids said. Of course, the French weren't entirely fair in calling their nemesis the Anglo-Saxon model. It's the specifically American model they have to fear. While France was in turmoil, I was in England, ancestral home of the Anglo-Saxon race, giving a talk when a fellow in the audience asked me how people could be fired without, quote-unquote, due process. In the UK, a person who feels she has been wrongfully dismissed can turn to an employment appeals tribunal and, beyond that, to the courts. I had to explain that in the United States, you can be fired for just about anything, having a bad attitude, which can mean having a funny look on your face or just turning out to be not a good fit. Years ago, there was a theory on the American left that someone, maybe it was me, termed worsism. The worse things get, the more likely people will be to rise up and demand their rights. But in America, at least, the worse things get, the harder it becomes to even imagine any kind of resistance. The fact that you can be fired at will of the employer, that is, freezes employees into terrified obedience. Add to that the fact that job loss is accompanied by a loss of access to health care, and you get a kind of captive mentality bordering on the kinkily masochistic. Beat me, insult me, double my workload, but please don't set me free. Far be it from me to advocate the burning of cars and smashing of store windows, but why are American students sucking their thumbs while the Bush administration proposes a $12.7 billion cut in student loans? Where is the outrage over the massive layoffs at Ford, Hewlett-Packard, and dozens of other major companies? And is the poverty-stricken quarter of their population too stressed by their mounting bills and multiple jobs to protest cuts in Medicaid and already pathetic housing subsidies? Compared to those surrender monkeys, we're looking like a lot of soggy, used Kleenex. Again, that's from Barbara Ehrenreich, taken from The Progressive, and you can find it at commondreams.org. A note on students, in all fairness, it is students who are playing a large role in the current massive demonstrations across the country against proposed immigration reforms. This has been In the News for April 7th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from Cottage Grove, Oregon. Talk to you next time.